Yes, we are Parsby.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
We are getting ready for in-season tournament basketball here at the Golden One Center. Whitey Gleason, Kyle Draper. Let me guess, you got the call tonight on NBC.
Yes,
Sports.
I got the call tonight again, man. Exactly. Uh-huh. We got that big win the other night. They said, Drapes, we need you again. We need you to bring us a W, so here I am again.
Well, before we get to any of that, I got to say today, right now, I know how Karl Malone felt. Do you remember Kobe in his first All-Star game? Remember late in the game, Kobe's in there, and he's got the ball, triple threat. Karl Malone comes and sets a screen for Kobe.
Yes.
Karl Malone, the great Karl Malone. What does Kobe do?
He says, get that screen out of here.
That's how I feel with Watkins and Styles, you know? Like, hey, you guys want to do a crossover?
Nope.
Waving it off.
Nope.
Waving it off. And then at the end of the show, Allen Styles, like, you know, hey, we'll be at the game tonight. Drive guys coming up? No. Hey, stay tuned for the drive guys? No. He says, see ya. I guess we'll see you Monday.
You know what it is. Just like Kobe, these new kids, this younger generation, man. They think they know everything. They think they got it all figured out, and they don't trust the OGs, you know, like
I
you,
guess.
My man. And so it's all good. You know, our listeners know when to tune in. They know what time we're on here.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, if what's going on the floor now is any indication, we are going to have some exciting basketball tonight. There's some kind of, I don't know, pickup tournament going on, and this is the second game. First game, I actually lost $50 to RJ. We had a bet on it. This game, I think I'm winning, but I don't even know who's on which team, Kyle, because everyone's wearing, you got a Mitch Richmond jersey, a T-shirt, a De'Aaron Fox jersey.
A Klay Thompson.
Who's on what team?
I know. You know, I'm just glad they didn't go shirt skins. You know, I didn't want to see that. You know, I'm okay with what they got on right now. As long as they don't go shirt skins, I'm good.
Yeah. I hope no one gets hurt. So far, no one's got hurt, although I think I pulled a groin in that first game. wasn't my own, though. It was RJ's.
Ouch.
I think we're good. And it's a Friday. We're underway.
Man, I tell you what. After this, what, you got a stand-up comedy routine going on down the street at Punchline or something like that?
What a good mood, you know, after the Kings won that game. But you remember Wednesday, we were starting the show. We were very optimistic. And, hey, that was a great win. I'm not as optimistic about the game tonight. Let me just lay it on the table for you right there.
You're not optimistic?
Not as optimistic tonight against the Thunder as I was against the beaten up Blazers.
I'm glad you said that, because based on what I know about this Kings team and based on what we've seen this season, they should win tonight.
Really?
Yes, because nobody's giving them a chance. Remember, you lose De'Aaron Fox. You go down to Golden State. Man, I don't know. We played great against them. Right in it to the very end. Klay Thompson hits a great shot. And then, they're going to Houston. That's two wins. I'm not worried about that. They lose.
Mm.
Then they come back home in Portland. I don't know. You know, you were optimistic. But, you know, they were struggling a little bit. And then they played, you know, arguably their best game in terms of energy and effort of the season. And so I expect an inspired team, because I think they know everybody's counting them out because there's no De'Aaron and Trey Lyles tonight.
I see. So when you expect them to zig, they're going to zag.
Exactly.
I gotcha.
I think this team, like, when you think they've arrived and think they've figured it out, that's when they have games like Houston. And then you start counting them out, hitting the panic button, doubting them, and then they come and play a great game. And so I expect them to get up for this game. And let's not forget, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, a Kentucky guy. Malik Monk's a Kentucky guy. I think Malik's going to want to show out tonight.
Did you know last year, you probably did know this, you probably were there and did all the games, but last year against OKC, Domantas Sabonis averaged a triple-double.
Yes, he dominated them last year. And, you know, as I think about tonight's matchup, that's going to be key. Domantas Sabonis against Chet Holmgren. And there's a number of matchups in that starting five I want to discuss here over the next few hours. But he has to have another big night tonight against Domantas Sabonis. Against Chet Holmgren. And I think it's going to be a different kind of night than what we saw the other night against Portland. I think this has to be an old-school Domantas Sabonis, physical, in the paint, backing Chet Holmgren down, who, you know, Domas outweighs him by like 100 pounds. And so he has to dominate on the inside, not necessarily the perimeter.
Who knows who's going to start tonight? We'll find out. But I wanted to ask you about this because this must be wrong. I have the starting lineups from Wednesday. Could you tell me whose name that is right there? I don't know if I don't want my glasses on or who
is that? Kevin Herter?
Who is that that started? No, under him. Who is that that started?
Oh, Keegan Murray, you're talking. Keegan.
No, no.
Hey, everybody loves an I told you so guy. We got one right there. Everybody loves an I told you so guy. But let me say this.
Ellis. Yeah.
Can I please at least get credit for this one, Whitey? Who was the first guy to text you, say Keon Ellis is starting?
Well played.
So I said, I owned up to it.
I appreciate
you
that.
Know?
Yeah.
And you were like, you know what? He's got to get some minutes. He's earned some minutes. And then my guy Matt Barnes on the broadcast said the same thing that I said.
Yeah. We were sitting right up there Wednesday, and Frankie, Frankie, and Frankie goes, there's a rumor that Keon Ellis is starting said, that'd be great if he did.
Exactly. And you know, Matt Barnes said, you know what? Mike Brown is rewarding the guys that played well. Keon Ellis got some minutes. Kessler Edwards got Alex Len. We didn't see JaVale McGee or Sasha Vezenkov at all. And so, you know, it'll be interesting who they start tonight. Do you go back to Keon Ellis? I'm actually thinking yes, to be honest with you. I'm thinking stick with it. I thought Keon played well, came out with good energy. Why not?
Mm-hmm. He's not a great point guard, but you run your offense through Sabonis anyway.
Right.
And he gives you a little bit of a defensive presence, defensive energy to start the game. Yeah, I'd be a little surprised if he didn't start tonight. But, again, whether he starts or not, he's not going to play 30 minutes.
Right, and that's what we saw the other night, right? Davion did not start. But Davion played 30 minutes. Davion was out there in crunch time. Davion was out there to close the game. I'm looking at the minutes. Keon played 21 minutes. Davion, 27. Malik Monk, 29 and change. And so there were enough minutes to go around with those three guys. But we didn't see Kobe Jones.
That surprised me a little bit. I thought that he was doing what was asked of him and playing fairly well.
Right. And so it's interesting because 2 weeks ago we said, oh, Kobe Jones, he's done enough. He got it. He has to be on the floor. He's earned some minutes, and now he just had a DNP CD. And so give Keon Ellis credit, man. I would like to see him back out there tonight, to be honest with you, especially if Davion is still going to impact the game the way he did coming off the bench the other night.
Looks like one of these pickup games, the second one has ended. I don't know now if they have a playoff or if they're
having I hope not.
In-season tournament. I'll tell you, I saw these guys come in. In fact, when I came in, someone asked me, are you in the tournament? And I should have said, yeah, and maybe I would have got to, you know, play. But
you would have dominated, huh?
I don't know. That one guy's a pretty good shooter. But the guy in the jeans, I mean, I almost yelled down at him, hey, you don't wear jeans in a gym playing pickup basketball.
Well,
but, you know, whatever worked.
You know, it's interesting. There's two ways to look at a guy wearing jeans. The way you just said, this dude has no game at all. Or he's so confident in his game, it's like Larry Bird back in the day, right? You know, showing up with the wingtips on and dominating. And so that dude wasn't Larry Bird, though.
We don't know that. Yeah. But you know what? The thing is have fun, right? And I thought the Kings played. They did play with a little bit more of a sense of joy. Obviously, that was a tough game.
Right.
That was a really nervous finish for that game. But they didn't play like the weight of the world was on them anymore.
Yeah, they played free. They played with energy.
That's it.
You know, Kevin Herter knocked down some shots. Davion came out. You know, what they did is they played with passion out there. And that's something we didn't see in those two games in Houston. They played like, you know what? They wanted to be the aggressors, the enforcers out there. And that's how they got to play, especially when you don't have your star in De'Aaron Fox. And so it's nice to do it one game, but I want to see them do it against tonight against a very good Oklahoma City team.
I think it's fair to ask the question, can the Kings without De'Aaron Fox beat the Thunder? Well, they did last year.
Yeah, yeah.
However,
Shea didn't play either.
But still, I mean, maybe there's a little bit of a blueprint there for getting it done. Remember, this is, as we were saying, as you know, this is the opener for the Kings of the in-season tournament. OKC is already down. They're already 0-1 in the tournament.
0-1. They lost to Steph Curry and the Warriors, if I'm correct, in their opener last week of the in-season tournament. And so it'll be interesting to see how OKC approaches this game, because if you lose this one, 0-2.
0-2 in group
play. You're pretty much
no team has ever come from
0-2 in season tournament group play.
And then
you're
back
on fire
to
today, man. I tell you what, you are on fire today.
What do you
today.
Think of the court? Our first glance at the I tweeted something earlier. We got our first look at the court. What do you think?
I'm trying to decide because I am a paid employee of the Sacramento Kings. So, you know what? When I first saw it, I didn't like it walking in. You know, because, first of all, you got some scuff marks already out there on the floor and everything. And, you know, you got these yahoos out here playing. I think it should be, and it's kind of a matted gray also. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I think the blue should pop a little more, a little more. You know, I'm nitpicking. It'll be interesting to see how it blends with the City Edition jerseys that they're wearing tonight. And so, you know,
it's basically a gray court, except there's the lane all the way straight down the court, perpendicular to the half court line. There's a big blue stripe that runs basically from one painted area down to the other. And you know what? Every court in the in-season tournament has that stripe down the middle. You know what that is?
That runway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be, because I just read this today, ESPN, that's supposed to represent the runway to Vegas.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, that's okay. Yeah.
You know, it used to be, you know the term, you probably use it all the time, the painted area. And on these courts, it's all painted.
It's all painted, right? Yeah, exactly. So if somebody hits a top of the key three, is that a point in the paint or what?
So. You know? I don't mind this. You know, there are some of them have been like all red and some of them are. They just kind of almost make you recoil.
So this understated look?
I do. I would like to be an old school. I'd like to see a little bit of actual, you know, the wood floor on there. But this, I'm fine with the contrast between the gray and the blue. I like it. It's a nice, warm, comforting.
You know, some people say, "Where's the purple?" That's our, that's our colors now. Where's the purple? Obviously, this is an ode and homage to, you know, the Royals colors back in the day and, you know, the blue that they used to have. And you'll see that in the jerseys, uniforms that they're going to wear tonight. But, you know, I'm going to put a picture on social media here in a minute. I was hoping that these guys, you know, wouldn't be playing a best of seven series out here. They're still out on the court. Everybody's like, "Drape, show us the court." Well, you got some yahoos out there. I don't want to show it to you with that on there.
By the way, your Sacramento State Hornets are home this Saturday, 2 p.m. kickoff against the Cal Poly Mustangs. I think one of the guys I played high school basketball with, I think he's in the Cal Poly Hall of Fame as a quarterback, Sean Campus. Anyway, they're terrible. Boo. Get your tickets at hornetsports.com. We take a quick break. Do you have any Drapes takes today? And it's okay.
Of course I do.
Okay, great.
Come on.
Awesome.
Dude, I wake
was
up with Drapes takes. How always.
Yeah. All right, Drapes takes from Wednesday's big win when we come right back here to the Golden One Center to drive guys on Sacktown Sports. The Golden One Center once again where the Kings tip off in-season tournament play against the Thunder. And Kyle, I'm trying very hard to have an open mind about the in-season tournament. Definitely there's a lot of upside there. I want to get this off my chest. In-season tournament, is that like the worst possible name for an in-season tournament? It's like a box of cereal. You go and then, you know, there's Frosted Flakes, Rice Krispies, and a box of cereal. Right?
Or Fruity O's or something. Yeah. No, but this is just the first year of it. So you want to get people to understand, this is the in-season tournament.
Uh-huh.
And then what's going to happen is, you know what? It'll be, you know, right, they're calling it the NBA Cup now, right? If you win it, it's the NBA Cup. You know, soon it'll be
the
Commissioner
Cup or
Amazon Cups. Yeah. It'll be sponsored.
Yeah, I know.
This is just, you know,
baby steps.
Got a baby step. Yeah, you got to crawl before you can walk. Mm-hmm. So let's why are you being like that today? Like,
I'm being honest.
Because
there it is. And we got, you know, the big video board here. You got Keegan and you got Kevin Herter.
Yeah.
It's his in-season tournament presented by Dialpad. And they're wearing the City Connect uniforms, which I think are great. So I'm just, you know, we're all figuring all this out together.
You would think, though, as I'm looking at the court on the Jumbotron, it actually looks better on the Jumbotron than... You know, you see how the Golden One pops?
Yeah, because it says, there's parts of the floor that are kind of a yellowish-brown, but they look kind of a brighter orange.
Orange, yeah. It actually pops more on the Jumbotron. I wonder how much that'll translate on TV. See, right?
See, the TV guy picks right up on that.
Look at the trophy, too, like the base of the trophy. It looks like,
I'm gonna
man.
Take a picture of that.
Yeah, that's – oh, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Check out his social media page.
Yeah.
But, no, it's, you know, in-season tournament. I actually think it's been a success so far. You know, last week they had it on Friday, and the average margin of victory was 4.9 points.
I heard Chris talking about
that. Yeah, which was the lowest, the tightest it's been in 10 years. And so we'll see how it goes tonight.
All right.
You know, so, yeah, I like it so far.
All right. That brings us to Drape's Takes.
Where's my guy, Jay? You on the ones and twos? You got it for me, Jay?
Calm down, Ryan. Calm down.
That was a dramatic pause, right?
Uh-huh.
Dramatic pause.
Take it easy.
Drape's Takes from that big overtime win the other night against the Portland Trail Blazers. I know it was tight. I know we were on the edge of our seats. We were worried our squad might lose, Sacramento Kings fans. But I'm here to tell you, my guy, Domantas Sabonis, he delivered in a big way. He was a little ornery earlier in the day at shoot-around Wednesday before the game. And then he came out and he delivered 11 first-half points. And if I'm correct, Whitey, since you're all about I told you so, I told you Domantas Sabonis had to be the best player on the floor, and he was. He had 27 points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists, and he got DeAndre Ayton in foul trouble, 3 first-half fouls. That's the kind of Domantas Sabonis I want to see night in and night out, especially with De'Aaron Fox out. Like, you got to impact this game and put your stamp on this game. He's such a physical player. He could do it. And I love the fact his first 3 buckets, I believe, Whitey, came on offensive rebound. It wasn't like plays were called for him or anything. He went and got the rebound and threw it back in. Domantas Sabonis set the tone the other night.
Yeah, and what's interesting about that to me is I know I was saying that, oh, you know, if he takes that, has that open jump shot, he's got to take it, that mid-range. I think he took one and made it.
Yes.
He didn't really need to rely on that, and he was still a lot more aggressive and effective.
Yeah, he was aggressive, effective. He'll have to be that way tonight, I think, against Chet Holmgren.
Hey, you're going to break Oklahoma the City backboard if you keep doing that. These guys got to play a game tonight.
I know.
Did you see that break?
I did see that. Hold on, man. You're hijacking my segment. I mean, I know we're watching these guys, but you're hijacking my segment. Drape's Take
Drape's
number
takes.
Two. How about my guy, Mike Brown? He coached the heck out of that game. And I'm not just talking from an X's and O's standpoint. He threw everything but the kitchen sink in that game. He started Keon Ellis. He benched JaVale McGee and Sasha Vezenko. He went with Alex Lynn. Kessler Edwards got some meaningful minutes in that game. And so Mike Brown, true to his word, he said, you know what? I'm going to put guys out there I think that's going to help me to win, that are playing the right way. And I thought every button he pushed in terms of substitutions, it worked out for him the other night.
Were you surprised that JaVale McGee didn't play? Look, not being critical. Everything worked out great. It was a huge win. But were you surprised by that?
Yes. I was because I didn't think there was an issue with JaVale McGee. I thought he's been fine. I thought he's been great for this team.
He was one of the positives in Houston.
I was shocked by that. And so, obviously, Mike Brown saw something else. But you know what? The great thing about Mike Brown is that he inspires everybody. And for Alex Lynn, the true professional that he is, to come in and have the kind of game that he did, 13 minutes. Whitey, Alex Lynn was a perfect 4-for-4 from the field. He got 6 boards, 10 points, 2 block shots. And so it's you know, coaching isn't just X's and O's. It's knowing who to turn to and when. And I thought Mike Brown did a great job of that the other night.
I have just an unbelievable amount of respect for guys like Alex Lynn. Not that there are a lot. Guys that they don't play. Hey, you're in. And then they play while they're ready.
Yes.
It's not easy to do.
Exactly. And you need those guys on your team, too. You need those guys who know, you know what, I may not get in tonight, but when I do get in, I'm going to do something positive. And if I don't, I'm not going to make any waves or make any noise or cry and complain. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be a professional, and that's what Alex Lynn is. My third and final Drape's Take, and I might have a bonus one depending on how I feel. I'm just telling you. I could go on for an hour on Drape's Takes. You know that.
Yeah.
Davion Mitchell. My guy, Davion Mitchell, was phenomenal. He got the message. You know what? You're coming off the bench. He didn't pout. He didn't cry. He just came out and he balled, and he was so aggressive. And when I say aggressive, Whitey, that doesn't mean putting up shots. That means attacking the basket, getting into the paint, really putting the defense on its heels. And I thought Davion did that night and all throughout that game. And it wasn't surprising to see him closing out that game. In the meaningful minutes down the stretch, he was out there.
The officials were letting him play a lot. They did call a lot of fouls, but, I mean, they still, it was a very physical game, and the Kings recognizing that we got to take the ball to the basket.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of the keys to the game because they didn't shoot well, but they went to the line, 38 times. So what you're talking about there, Malik Monk doing that, attacking the basket, and also Davion, that was one of the absolute keys to the win.
Yeah, no doubt. And speaking of Malik Monk, the 19 free throws, most free throw attempts by any player in the association this year. So he was still being aggressive. The shot wasn't falling, but he didn't let that dictate how aggressive he was going to be. He still was able to get into the paint. Malik Monk was phenomenal. I'll give you the quick bonus
tape.
They put 52 bench points on the board. If I'm correct, Whitey, in the first Drapes take of the season after the season opener, I said this Kings team could have the best bench in the entire NBA, and this is why. You don't have Trey Lyles. You don't have De'Aaron Fox. But yet, other guys chipping in. Alex Len giving you 10. Davion, 16. We should not be surprised by Davion getting 16. He's capable of this. Malik Monk, 23. He's capable of big games like this. And so I think this bench can be the best in the NBA. They outscored Portland 52-26. That's exactly what I talked about before the game the other night. They should own the bench battle, and they did. Kudos to them.
Yeah, and I thought Keon Ellis, as a starter,
yeah,
in some ways I thought he gave the Kings what I'll bet you Mike Brown was hoping to get from KZ Akpala last year. I'm not making a joke.
Right.
No, he was looking for somebody to just give a little defensive energy just to start the game. And I thought Keon did that. And then you have everyone coming off the bench playing so well, even though there's a lot of the guys that have been coming off the bench and we didn't think were playing that badly. They didn't play at all.
They didn't play at all. That was a little surprising. You know, no Sasha, no JaVale McGee. I wonder if Mike Brown, like Sasha, he still needs more time. Like, and so I think Sasha's the type, the more he plays, the better he'll be, you know? It's not like, you know, what we're seeing from him, his struggles, is indicative of who he is. I think he has to adapt to the NBA game, and the more minutes he gets, the better he's going to be. But, you know, it's interesting when you talk about Keon Ellis. You know, I'm looking at the box score, 4 points, 4 rebounds. 3 steals.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That was huge.
Very active.
Forget about
hands.
The points and everything like that. You know, 21 minutes. But his impact on the game goes farther, deeper than what we're seeing in the box score.
Yeah, that's why I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think who starts tonight, I know we've talked about it, Styles and Watkins talked about it. I think the answer is easy. I think Keon Ellis starts again tonight. Again, it doesn't mean he's going to play a lot.
Right.
But not a traditional starter, perhaps. But I think it worked so well, and he gave you so much energy. I think he has to start.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I guess the only question is, from a coaching standpoint, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Oh, yeah.
You got to try to figure out, all right, what kind of defense am I going to have? Keon Ellis on him to start the game, or do I want to go Davion? I think Keon can do it. You know, he was an all-SEC defender at Alabama. Nobody talks a whole lot about his defense, but he can do that. Like I said, 3 steals the other night. And so, yeah, I agree with you. Keon should be the starter, I think, tonight.
If Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scores 31 or fewer points tonight, you have a party, in my opinion. If you hold him to 31, or even if like 27, it's like,
right,
yes.
Right.
That is a great defensive effort.
This is a dude coming off 43 the other night.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and he does it without taking threes. That's what's so crazy. He's so good, he doesn't have to take 8, 9 threes to drop 40. He can get in the paint. His mid-range game, one of the best in the league. And so he's sort of like, in terms of, you know, holding him down to scoring-wise, like Steph Curry, like we would say. If you hold Steph under 30, that's a win.
Oh,
that's
absolutely.
A win. You know, if you hold Shai under 30, remember, he averaged better than 30 points a game last season. If you hold Shai under 30, you know, hallelujah. That's a win for this Kings team.
And that's Drapes Takes. And when we come right back, is a win. But the Kings still have some things to figure out. And we're back with those when we come back to the Golden One Center to Drive Guys on Sactown Sports. Drive Guys coming to you from the Golden One Center, of course. So thank you. You just tweeted, we in here, Drive Guys.
Yep.
Kevin Gleese starts right now. Alan Styles liked your post. So do you think then it's like, oh, okay, are we good? Or are we still?
Man, this 2023, like, young persons, you know. Just say, Kyle, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry, you know. No, don't try
sorry,
and say.
I blatantly disrespected
exactly,
the both of you.
Right. And, you know, he's like, oh, we're going to be in the building tonight, him and Chris Watkins.
Yeah.
We can't wait to get there.
me and you are sitting here right now. That's a perfect segue, right? He could have been like, but two guys who are already at the building, the Drive guys, he didn't do that. You know, that's, you know, I'm in my feelings about that. I'll be honest with you. That's, it's bothering me.
You're right. Yeah. I mean, okay, so he hearted your post. That's that ain't going to cut it.
You know who else who hearted my post, some of my posts?
Who's that?
John 12698437 APR. Just some random, like, bot. Like, I don't care if somebody likes my post. That's not a way to get in my heart. That's what I'm talking about. You know how many posts we get, like, bots and everything?
Right,
man? Come on,
right.
Man. I don't even know if that was the real Alan Stiles. That might have been. What's his alter ego again? Alfred Stiles or something?
Oh, is it Aaron? Aaron Stiles. Yeah, I think you're right. Wow. All right. Yeah. Well, you'll be doing the games tonight. I got to sit up there.
Yeah, you got to sit with them, right?
Yeah, we'll sort it out. We'll
How many credentials we get, Sacktown Sports 11?
We get a lot.
We got a lot of people, huh?
And I've worked at places where a lot of people get credentials, but they don't necessarily show up. And people at our station, they
actually show up. We're at the games. Yeah,
and people are actually working.
And it's not just the big games either.
Yeah,
It's, it's the Mondays against Detroit. We're still up in here, no doubt.
Yeah, people get their work done, and the Kings take care of us, and we appreciate that very much. I have a question for you, maybe an ignorant question. Hopefully you can help us out.
What you got?
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's the point guard, right?
Yes.
I thought Josh Giddey was the point guard. If he's not, what is he? Do they play kind of positionless basketball as much as anybody else does?
Yeah, to an extent. It's Shai's the point guard. Josh Giddey, his numbers are actually down. You know, his numbers are you know, some of the lowest of his career.
Yeah, he's not shooting the ball right.
Yeah, he's not doing it too well. And so they play positionless, you know, but in today's NBA, Whitey, you need multiple ball handlers. That's what they call it. You know, Boston does this as well. Like, you know, they don't have a traditional set point guard. Sure, Drew Holiday, but Tatum handles the ball. Derek White, you know, handles the rock as well. They, you know, a lot of times what Brad Stevens used to do in Boston is separate them in between ball handlers and big/wings or something. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It wasn't just a one, you're the one, you're the two. You know, everybody's sort of interchangeable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, these guys playing down here right now, I don't think there's any what I would call pure point guards in there, but they're, you know, they're getting...
Yeah, no point guard, no shooters, no defenders.
Hey, they're having fun. Just in you playing jeans, I don't know.
They don't know we're ripping them, too, up here. That's what's so sad, right? Like, their family members might be at home. Oh,
that's
money.
That's money. Boom!
Oh, dude in the Monk, yes, sir. I told
Barry's
you about him.
From 19.
He's a competitor, too. Yeah. That's what I see from
look
him.
At that pass.
Look at that pass. My God.
He's not just a scorer.
I wish you guys could see this.
Just a scorer. He shares the ball, too. Very unselfish.
You know what? Have you ever played on a court with the NBA three-point line and you sort of get mixed up, like, which three-point line? Like, watching this, everybody wants to shoot threes, but the NBA three-point line is no joke.
Right.
You know, it's a little out of range for a lot of people.
Right. And I will say, as much as I've been making fun of some of these people, whoever they are, you know, bless them, but some of them have been making threes, and I don't know that I can make a three right now. So good for them. We were playing once in the old Arco, and it was like media against somebody, some firefighters, and the Kings let us play at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, whatever. The Kings that night were playing the Jazz. So I'll never forget this, because at one point we look, and in the old building, the tunnel was right under the basket, right under the stanchion. So we look over, and Karl Malone is standing there watching. And I'll never forget, because it's like he's just like shaking his head like,
guys play? Oh, that's embarrassing, man.
That's not how you're supposed to do
it. That one guy, though, is a baller I'm watching out here. He just nailed a three.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty – like.
Yeah, there's some shooters out there.
You would think with Karl Malone watching, you would want to, like,
we wanted to.
Out,
we wanted to.
It just, the body just didn't cooperate.
Yeah. To your point about how teams don't necessarily play as many traditional point guards, isn't that part of the reason why the Kings can afford to play Keon Ellis? Because he's not really a point guard.
Right.
But he did fine as long as you got, you know, as long as you're running the offense through Domas.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you're running it through Domas. There's a lot of motion, a lot of offense. Motion in that offense, if you will. And so it's not your traditional, you know, inbound it to the point guard. He dribbles it up, sets it up, points guys in direction. You know, a lot of teams want to play fast, too. And so you don't need that traditional point guard. And when you have a big, you know, or a wing, I guess, like Josh Giddey, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, even Chet Holmgren can pass the ball. You know, we look at the Kings, Domantas Sabonis. You don't need that floor general as much.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that worries me from the Kings' standpoint tonight, not to be negative, but, you know, if you're a fan, you worry.
Okay.
I think it's going to be imperative to keep Domas out of foul trouble tonight, and that could be a challenge.
You think that's imperative, huh?
Yeah, don't
Justin,
you?
Or is that specific to tonight or just in
especially
general?
Tonight, I think it's, yeah.
Well,
it's always important,
or?
But yeah, because it's on the people that he's going to have to be defending.
No, I mean, I could see that. But, you know, Alex Lynn's been playing well, man. The problem with Alex Lynn in this matchup, Chet likes to float around the perimeter. You know, Alex Lynn, you know, Chet's not a traditional big that's going to be in the dunker spot or in the block or anything like that. And Chet could put the ball on the deck, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, to your point, you know, that matchup with Domas, Chet puts a lot of pressure on you with his ability to do that. And so, like you said, if he has to stay out of foul trouble. I think that's the case on any night. But, yeah, I can see what you mean, especially in this matchup tonight with OKC.
Yeah, and when you don't have De'Aaron Fox – I mean, Domas was – he was brilliant in the last game.
Wasn't he amazing?
Like, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I was – I had always said, he's not one of them 30-point-per-game guys. I'm not saying he could be 30, but he's shown if he was more aggressive and looked for a shot more, 23-24 should not be out of the realm for this guy.
And the thing that I always appreciate the most about him, 27 points on – and I think we joked about this, but I think we might have nailed the number.
Yeah.
14 shots.
14 shots.
Because he got to the line a lot.
He didn't have to put up 24 shots to get 27 shots to get 27 points. And, you know, 5 of 7 from the field. You know, the turnovers were pretty high, 6 turnovers. But the team as a whole, you know, had a trouble taking care of the ball. You know, one thing I saw from Domas, and it goes from Malik Monk, too, who was 4 of 16 shooting. The shots don't always have to fall to show me that you're engaged in it. You know, even, you know, forget the turnovers, forget Malik's missing shots. Like, those guys the other night showed me, you know what? They're playing hard. They're trying. The effort was there.
They're competing.
The competing, yes.
Which shouldn't be an issue, but it was against Houston.
Right. And I think that's what was so upsetting about those two Houston games. Forget about wins and losses. Just at least compete. We didn't see that at all in Houston. And so even though it was a tight game the other day against Portland, we are all hoping for a blowout. I was impressed with the compete level from minute 1 to minute 53.
By the way, don't ever, 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 not you, but don't ever, ever talk to me about plus minus in an individual game.
What you
don't
got? Let me look at plus minus.
Look
right
at
now.
Domas. He was minus 5. Come on.
He was the best Kings player out there. That's what I'm saying. It's ridiculous, right?
27, 11, and 9. Yep, minus 5.
No, you can't play him. You know, can't play. He had a bad game. It's come on, man. I'm with you on that.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick time out when we come back. We'll look at some things the Kings, despite the win against the Blazers, need to improve upon and need to work on if they're going to beat these OKC Thunder tonight in the in-season tournament opener for the Kings from the Golden 1 Center. It's a Drive, guys, and we're, of course, coming to you on Sacktown Sports.
Can the Niners build off their NFC Championship appearance?
Well, we appreciate all the feedback on Twitter, on X, of course, on the YouTube chat. Kyle Draper, Whitey Gleason, and we've been posting pictures of the new court, the in-season tournament court. And so I got a new follower here, Brenda Draper, and I found out that's Kyle's mom, which is great. So I was like, okay, follow her back. And I am your mom's first follower
man,
on Twitter.
So I don't even follow my mom.
Yeah. What's wrong with you? She's following 14, and she's got me following her. So thank you, Brenda. God. I appreciate that.
Does she follow me? That's the question. Check her followers real quick. I'd be upset. What if she didn't follow me?
I'm sure she does. I'm not even
No Christmas gifts for her, right?
I'm sure she
I know
does.
She's listening, right? She listens to us every day from Philadelphia.
That's very kind of her.
She says very entertaining.
That.
So
good.
What's up, Mom? I know you're out there listening.
That's awesome. Thank you, Kyle's mom, for following me. I appreciate that. I'm glad you're one of my favorite follows already.
Oh, man.
On the YouTube chat here, we'll get to the phones in just a minute. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Dwayne Baker in the chat is going after Shai and his defense. Says, Drapes make SGA actually play defense. That'll hold them down. He also says, have you watched many of his games? He stands around on defense and swats at the ball like a cat under the couch.
Man, I'm going to have to actually watch that tonight, right? And, you know,
I don't
give
know
Dwayne
if it's true,
a shout
that's
out.
Funny.
But that's pretty funny. I'm going to be sitting there thinking, like, damn, you know what? Dwayne is right. Yeah. Dwayne, man, I tell you, that's good stuff.
Oh, let's talk to Mitch here. As I say, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Hello, Mitch. John with the Drive Guys. Happy Friday. What's up?
Happy Friday. Thank God. I got vacation coming up.
Nice.
I'll go fast, of course. I just want to know, JaVale McGee and Lynn, can we see more of them? I know you want to get the young guys in. I mean, I believe he's playing the whole 12 guys. Especially, you know, just, yeah, you're going to make the playoffs. These guys will get more playing time. And I hate to see McGee not playing at all. I mean, he's so athletic, but you never get, you know you're going to get with him, some, really. It's like a box of children. Well, you guys have a safe and blessed weekend.
Thank you. What do you mean?
That's a good question, though, like, because I thought JaVale had been a bright spot so far this season. You know, defending, rebounding, his scoring has been an added bonus, and I was surprised he didn't get in the other night. Do I want to see him tonight? Sure, why not? But, you know, this is one of the issues with this Kings team. You know, they're much deeper this year than they were last year. You know, so when a guy like Chimezie Metu didn't play, you know, nobody worried about it. Terrence Davis, all right. But now you got JaVale McGee. You got Colby Jones. You got Alex Lynn. You know, guys who on any given night, Sasha Vezenko, this is their big offseason acquisition, Whitey. Mm-hmm. And he didn't get any burn, any tick. And so, no, I think, you know, I would love to see JaVale. I think he does well. But I thought Alex Lynn played extremely well the other night.
Did you see the incredible stat that's making the rounds about Sasha? Somebody on the chat even mentioned it here.
Oh, what'd they say?
Okay, I think it's Enbo says, Sasha Vezenkov, first three games, and actually I think it's all season long to this point, 33 points and three dribbles.
No, that's a joke.
That was posted in, is it Eurobasket? Seriously, one of the European leagues.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
He doesn't have 33 points. So hold up. Let me pull it up right now. Sasha, points. No, you fell for the old banana in the tailpipe, Whitey. I think they were doing a comparison to Klay Thompson.
How many points does he have so far?
Let's see. Hold on. I got it right here. Let me pull it up. Game log. Is that correct, you think?
Well, I don't know. I thought it was. You just told me it wasn't.
I know.
And apparently, and I hate to do this with your mom listening, but I'm not sure you even looked it up.
No, I totally looked it up. So, 18. All right.
Yeah.
First what, three games?
Well, what I read today was so far this season. Enbo says first three games.
Let me see. 29. Let me do the math. 21, 29, 31, 33.
Okay.
Points.
Yeah.
All season long.
Right.
Yeah.
So far as 33 points on, according to, is it Eurobasket, one of those, 33 points on three dribbles.
Really?
Yeah. That's what's been reported. Okay.
That's hard to believe.
It is until you think of how many times you see him where he lets it go before he even catches it.
Yeah,
you don't put the ball in the deck.
He's only made six threes.
Mm-hmm.
That's 18.
He holds it, passes it, or he lets it go. He's not
right.
Not attacking the basket.
It might be a lot of catch and shoots.
Yeah.
To your point, yeah. That's hard to believe. Is that a good sign or not?
I think it's a sign he's not totally comfortable.
Right.
Thinking, I got to make a three.
Yeah, it's like almost a hot potato kind of. All right, I got the ball. Let me shoot it up, you know? Mm-hmm. I need to see him, and I said it before, take the ball to the basket. Put it on the deck. He's not doing that. And that's, you know, that's how your points come, your comfort level comes. It's not just catch and shoot. When you catch and shoot, it's all risk. You know, it's like you put so much on that shot, it's either make or miss. You put the ball on the deck, then you can spray it out for an open shot. Mm-hmm. Maybe you get fouled more, something like that, and then you get your rhythm going. And so
he's clearly not. He doesn't feel like he has a good rhythm going.
Yeah, 4 points over his last three games played also, total. Yeah, he has to get it going.
Do you think it's safe to assume, as I'm assuming, that most of the guys that didn't play in the last game who had been playing, almost all that has to do with something they're not doing defensively in Mike Brown's eye?
Yeah. I guess so. You know, in Mike Brown's eye, you said that. That's the point. Because I'm not seeing what JaVale McGee didn't do. You know, like if you're going to bench guys and if you're really going to say, you know what, you know, Keegan hasn't been good.
you know, I'm not saying bench him, but the guys he benched, like JaVale McGee, wasn't an issue. Like Sasha, I understand, you know what, he struggled the last couple of games, struggled defensively, picked up some fouls as well. But why was JaVale McGee, like, that's a –
yeah.
Why was he lumped in that group?
And obviously Mike Brown is not going to come out and say, this guy didn't play because right, he didn't right. do this. But he says if guys aren't doing what we're asking them to do. So that's – I can only assume there's something defensively that he needs to see more of. And Colby Jones, too, I would assume, because I thought, especially for rookie, he'd been playing well. But then they come up with the win, and it looks like as a team – you know, it looked like something was wrong with them as a team in Houston.
Right.
And now they come back and it looks like, all right, I'm sure there are some unhappy people there, but it's not affecting the play of the team. Don't you think, by the way, and this is going to sound like an excuse, I don't mean it as one, those two horrific losses in Houston are just a tiny bit more bearable after what Houston did to the Lakers?
Oh, for sure. Houston's a legit team.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're definitely a playoff team, but there's not – it's not an easy win. Like, when we see them in March, we're not going to be like, oh, we got Houston, we got this. Like, no team should think that. They have some talent on that team. They got some toughness, some grittiness, grimy guys. And Şengün is, you know, you could argue a top 10 center in the NBA right now.
He's a good player.
He's a good player. And so no nights off when you face the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, I mean, there's no excuse for the
appearance. They got a good coach, too, right?
Yes, yes. So, yeah, there was a lack of competitiveness.
Yeah.
It's not excusable. But for a lot of us who thought, oh, the Rockets, they'll beat them easy. And the Rockets are looks like they're, at least early on, a lot better than a lot of us thought they were going to be. When we come back here, all right, one of the big questions the Kings have to answer, what's up with Keegan Murray?
Yeah.
An honest conversation on that front is next year with the Drive Guys from the Golden 1 Center on Sacktown Sports.